This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. In part one of today's podcast with our guest, Dr. Joseph Prizzorno, he's author of The Toxin Solution, we made the case for how pervasive toxins are and how they may be a big influence on many of the degenerative diseases that afflict our populace. Turns out that diabetes is not a matter of overeating and sedentary lifestyle. It may be, at least in part, driven by toxins, which mess up our metabolic machinery, and many other diseases, brain diseases, circulatory diseases, endocrine diseases. He makes the case for the relationship in the book, The Toxin Solution. But in part two, I want to talk a little bit about solutions. I guess solutions come down to two things. One, keep away from these toxins as best as possible. It's not possible to live in a bubble, but you can minimize your exposure. But also, you can enhance your body's detoxification mechanisms, right?
Correct. So I think in many ways, it's kind of a three-step process. Number one is you've got to avoid letting these things into your body. If you look at the half-life of these things, toxins like arsenic are actually pretty easy to get rid of. Half-life's only 2 days. Okay, so if it's not in your water, you're not eating rice and chicken, you're probably not going to have trouble with arsenic. But when we look at the other things, like the organochlorine pesticides, DDT and PCBs and things of this nature, they have half-lives that are measured in months to years to decades. Mm. So some PCBs have a half-life in the body of 25 years. Mm. So once they're in, they're hard to get rid of. So avoid them, number one. There's no better solution. Second thing we want to do is support the body's own natural processes for getting rid of toxins. And then the third thing we can do is, when we know the exact toxin, there are various nutritional supplements and herbs and things we can use, and even some drugs if necessary, to specifically get those out of the body. Okay, so it depends. You kind of have to do all three.
So in the book, you actually have some nice questionnaires that help people assess what their toxin exposure is. Can you describe those questionnaires?
So what I try to do, there's two appendices in the book. One is Goldstein looks at each of the major diseases and look at which toxins are more likely to be the problem if a person has that disease. Then I have another table where I look at the typical symptoms people may have and look at what symptoms show up most with particular toxins. Actually, Christmas, there's a third one, too, where I also then say, with conventional laboratory tests, these are ones which help you understand when you have a lot of toxins. So I kind of look at it from as broadly as I can.
And then you have the toxic troubleshooter, which is a process by which people can kind of go through a checklist that you provide for minimizing exposures. What are some of those?
What I did there is actually I sat down with my wife and asked for her help because she's been really good at kind of practically applying the research that we're finding. So when I said to Laura, Laura, this, look at these toxins. Here's where they're coming from. What can we do to decrease our exposure in our house? So what I put in that chapter and some in the appendix is I actually talk about what we do. So let me kind of run through it. First thing we do, of course, is we only eat organic and grown food where at all possible. And as a matter of fact, we're trying to grow more and more of our own food. Now, of course, the latter part, growing your own food, is not everybody's able to do that. We're fortunate that we have a small amount of property, so we're putting, we're kind of covering it with vegetable beds. Mm-hmm. The second thing to do is have people take off their shoes when they walk into the house.
Yeah, that's a
big one. A lot of the toxins in the dust and air comes from the shoes.
It's not just a great Japanese custom. It's really something
right.
We should all be doing.
It's really smart, frankly. Really smart.
Yeah.
The next thing we do is we have a carbon block filter on the water line entering our house. So that means that when we take a shower, we're not breathing in those organic compounds, the chlorinated organic compounds. Mm-hmm. Because when we chlorinate the water supply to kill bacteria to get rid of the infections, which is a good idea, and don't get me wrong on this, but when you kill the infection, you kill the bacteria with the chlorine binds to the carbon molecules in the bacteria and produces toxic carbon molecules, some of which are carcinogenic, and there's no more efficient way to get a carcinogen or any other toxin into your body than by inhaling it. Mm. So when you're inhaling that hot water, when you're breathing in the hot shower, you're getting a bunch of toxins into your body. And if you have a shower curtain and the hot water hits it and you smell the shower curtain, mm-hmm. well, guess what? What you're smelling is what's going into your body. Okay, so this is not good. Mm-hmm. Okay. So anyway, so the carbon block filter to clean up what's coming into the house. Then we just installed a very high quality, what's called MERV 16 air filter in our air conditioning heating system so that the air that's circulating through the house all the time, whether the heat's on or not, is always being filtered. That cleans it up. Then we have our health and beauty aids. And with health and beauty aids, we use a little app called Think Dirty that'll tell you which health and beauty aids are most toxic, which are least toxic. So we have least toxic possible.
The skin is actually a conduit for all these chemicals that you apply to its surface into your bloodstream and to all the organs in your body.
Oh yeah, so great example of that is the phthalates. So phthalates are intentionally put into these lotions and potions mm-hmm. because they solubilize the fragrances. And so anytime you smell fragrance in one of these health and beauty aids, most likely there's phthalates there as well. Mm. So those phthalates get into the body, and those phthalates block insulin receptor sites, so they promote diabetes. Blocking insulin receptor sites promotes obesity. And they also block testosterone receptor sites. So I say to the guys, yeah, you may want to smell nice for the girls you want to attract, but you're actually less manly because your testosterone's not working as well because it can't get to your cells because of all these terrible chemicals you're putting on.
That'll motivate a young guy.
I would hope so.
So there are measures that you can take, and there's obviously a checklist in the book, and you can safeguard yourself from toxins. But I'm interested in how we can, you know, assuming that we are going to be exposed to some toxins and perhaps we haven't been as aware of them as we should have been, you know, wisdom sometimes comes late to many people, and awareness and consciousness. What can we do to detox?
So that's where we want to first start to support the body's own natural systems. And the more we do that, the less toxic it is. Because most interventions, if you're not careful, they can have side effects. So you want to decrease side effects as much as possible. So the first thing we do, and it's really simple, it may sound simplistic, but it's important, and that is increase fiber consumption. Now, here's what's going on. As we evolved as a species, we developed these livers that are really good at detoxifying things. And a way it detoxifies them is that the liver chemically modifies them, tries to make them less toxic, and then gets them out through the gut, through the bile into the gut. Now, normally they're supposed to then bind to the fiber in the gut and get out of the body. Well, unfortunately, as we evolved as a species, we consumed 100 to 150 grams of fiber a day. And so that system works fine in that environment. But in our current environment, we only consume 15 to 20 grams of fiber a day. So 90% less, 80 to 90% less. So that means that the fiber is not there to bind the toxins. So if you did nothing other than increase your dietary consumption and supplement consumption of fiber, you'll help the body there.
Hmm. And the microbiome, your digestive process, actually has an influence on how toxic materials are either metabolized into more dangerous compounds or broken down into harmless compounds and then excreted.
Exactly. So that's obviously, you've been reading through my book. Thank you. That's good.
I have this funny habit of actually reading the books that all these books that people send me before I talk to them. It's weird, but I do it.
I want to say thank you. I shouldn't say anything more. I'll get myself in trouble. But I really appreciate when people read my book.
Okay. Right. Don't say anything negative. Yeah.
I'm not going to say anything more.
Exactly. Okay.
So the liver plays a huge role here. And so we want to help the liver. And so we help the liver with fiber. And we also help the liver with two other groups of nutrients. Number one is N-acetylcysteine, or NAC for short. And what NAC does is that it promotes glutathione production in the body. Mm-hmm. And that's incredibly helpful for both directly protecting us from the toxins, but also to help facilitate elimination of toxins from our body.
Now, so that's very good. Joe, there's a lot of promotion of glutathione, mm-hmm. Drinks and liposomal glutathione. And, of course, that's the key molecule we want to augment. But do you think that those actually work, or do we want to just give the building blocks for the body to make its own glutathione with NAC, which ultimately is a cheaper procedure?
Right. So good observation. The challenge with oral glutathione is that most of it is broken down, almost all of it is broken down in the gut by the bacteria and digestion. So while taking oral glutathione will increase your glutathione levels, in many ways, it's doing it as expensive cysteine. Mm-hmm. So you can get the same benefit with N-acetylcysteine, unless you have genetic deficiency, but that's pretty rare. That'll work just fine.
Yeah, now, topical glutathione. On that subject, that's what I urge my patients to do. And
great.
Intravenous glutathione is a different thing, for people who really are badly in need of detoxification. It goes right in the bloodstream, so that's probably a better way to get it in if you need to.
Exactly. So if you want to do topical glutathione or liposomal glutathione, those will work. But glutathione per se by itself is not the optimal way of doing it.
Okay.
Now, if you have somebody with something significant like, say, Parkinson's disease, well, you can also use intranasal glutathione because that'll get glutathione into the brain as well.
Oh, great.
So there are a number of ways in which we can use glutathione, and it's hard to overstate the importance of this molecule. It's incredibly important for human health.
That's a good tip, and I'll start using that for my Parkinson's patients. Good. Are there other key nutrients or herbs, selenium, for example, that helps the glutathione pathway, it helps to reduce the glutathione? Is that?
So the answer is yes, there are a number of them, and we have to look at what are the priorities. So my next priority after NAC and fiber is going to be the B vitamins.
Okay.
Because all those enzymes are dependent upon B vitamins. And then, particularly for women, you have to worry about iron because the phase ones are all heme-based. Hmm. So if you have somebody who's iron deficient, anemia, well, they're probably going to be having troubles producing their phase one liver detox enzymes as well.
Okay.
Now, it's not going to be a problem with most men.
You can't go overboard
men.
Because too much iron is a potential.
Yes.
It becomes like a heavy metal in the brain and the heart.
Very, very good. Very few people realize that high iron levels are just almost as bad as high heavy metals because iron is extremely oxidative. And if you look at the levels of iron in the brain, for example, direct correlation with Alzheimer's disease.
Mm.
So iron is our friend, but just like fire, it's our friend, but you better be careful with it because it can get out of control.
Mm-hmm. Got to hit the sweet spot with iron.
Yes.
What about, in naturopathic medicine, there's a really a wonderful tradition of detoxification. And I think that's actually one of the edges that naturopaths have on MDs is that literally in your curriculum, in the training at the university you founded, Bastyr University, there are many lectures on the subject of detox. So how is that undertaken? And do you use herbs or various fasting procedures, colonic irrigation? What are some of those?
Right, so that's where it starts getting a little more complex. So I'm showing you, I've been talking so far about kind of the general things you can do mm-hmm. yep. without necessarily having seen the patient. Okay, so there's lots you can do, which is good. The challenge is when you have, as a practitioner, as a doctor, you see people who are pretty sick. So yes, you've got to detoxify them, but you also have to be really conscious of how well are their detoxification systems working. So one of the things we as naturopaths do is, yes, we do detox, but first we clean up the gut, then we get the liver functioning properly, then we get the kidneys functioning properly so that the organs of elimination are working the way they're supposed to, and then we put people on a detox program.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important. You got to prepare the body to get detoxed because if you start stirring things up before your body's able to get rid of them, you can actually make yourself worse for a period of time.
Yeah, it's like a healing crisis as the toxins come out and before, the body, it's not enough to bring them out. You actually overwhelm the body with the toxins. You have to provide a method of egress for the toxins.
Exactly. Exactly.
I did a little devil's advocate point here is there's this term hormesis, which I think you're familiar with, which means that a little bit of poison that doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Right.
We all, you know, although we have many more industrial chemicals in our environment, humans throughout the history of humankind have been exposed to poisons and toxins, and we have the ability to rev up our detox systems. And the thought is that maybe just a little bit of exposure isn't bad. It's not a zero-sum game. We don't have to, you know, be in a pristine, totally pristine environment to be healthy.
Very astute observation. And I agree. Small amounts are you know, it's fascinating. With hormesis, you get the exact opposite effect at small doses that you get at high dosages. So if we're in a hormesis status, that would be fine. The problem is we're way past hormesis. We're right into the linear damage from the environmental toxins. Mm-hmm. So good idea, but we're way past that at this point. It's just
right.
Unfortunate.
So it's bad. Little reassurance comes from that notion. Yeah. And is it, are some people more susceptible to toxins? Are they the canaries in the coal mine for one reason or another?
Yeah, good point. So if you look at the activity of the various enzymes in the liver, there is a 10,000-fold variation in the activity of some of those enzymes. So you have some people where that enzyme works really well, and some situation where that enzyme works really poorly. An example I like to give is 2D6. So cytochrome P450 2D6, it's a phase one detox enzyme in the liver. It detoxifies about 25% of the drugs people are normally prescribed. So in that particular enzyme, there's a 10,000-fold variation. So about 7% of Caucasians, when given a standard dose of a drug, will get a drug reaction because they can't break it down. Mm-hmm. Conversely, people of African or Middle Eastern descent, one-third of them, that enzyme works so well, when given a standard dose of a drug, it doesn't work because they clear out real quickly. Mm-hmm. I had this dramatic example of this, and I try to go through and do some testing to make sure what I think happened is true. So at one of my dinners at my home. So we hold leadership dinner for the naturopathic students in our home. And we start that by going around the table and asking people, well, what got you into naturopathic medicine? And one of these women said, my life was really not going very well. And I was done. And I decided to kill myself. And I took a whole bottle of sleeping pills. And I went to bed and I figured I'd never wake up again. Well, she woke up the next morning and she was really surprised. How come I'm still alive? Well, this is a young African-American woman, and she obviously had the enzymes where she broke down the sleeping pills so fast, it didn't kill her.
Yep.
Okay. So I thought that was an incredibly good example of there's huge variation. Mm-hmm. So you have some people that can smoke all their lives, never get lung cancer, and some else, well, they live with a smoker and they get lung cancer. We have huge variations in our susceptibility.
And someday we may pinpoint, through a gene determination precisely where people are at. Right now we're sort of a primitive stage, but I guess in future we may actually have better data on that.
Exactly, we're getting there.
Milk thistle is often cited as a premier detoxifier. What's your take on that?
Yes, milk thistle is one of my buddies. It increases the production of glutathione in the liver. And so I have had some people who they just can't take dietary supplements. And so now I need to get glutathione in them because they're in really bad shape for the toxicity. And so I started using milk thistle with them. And I'm not ready to say how well it worked, but so far I'm encouraged by what I'm seeing.
Okay. Any other favorites of yours?
Let me go at this at a slightly different direction.
Mm-hmm.
People all the time ask me, what's the best way to detoxify? What's the best diet to eat? And things of this nature. And the more and more I look at this, the more research I see, the more I get to what I would call fundamentals. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, I think in many ways, being healthy is relatively straightforward. Mm-hmm. Not easy, mind you, but relatively straightforward. I'm getting to your answer, kind of roundabout here.
Right.
And what I think we need to be more aware of is, we have to live every day in a healthful manner.
Mm-hmm.
We have to every day say, what's going into my body? Is it low in toxins and is it high in nutrients? I'm living in a city. What am I doing to facilitate my body's own innate detoxification systems? Am I living near a electricity plant that's using coal to produce the electricity, because they're dumping mercury into my environment. Is there something I need to do? For example, take DMSA to get that mercury out of my body, because it's definitely coming in. So when I say, I talk about the kind of general things that are important, but it's all based on the foundation of healthy living. But then you add to it all these things I've been talking about for increasing toxin elimination. And when you got specific toxins, you specifically go after those toxins. So they have high lead and mercury. I prescribe to people DMSA, because that's the safest way of orally getting these things out of people's bodies.
So you're taking a more nuanced view. There's no magic bullet or shortcut to detoxification. You do suggest some procedures. You have jumpstart diet in your book that helps. It's the two-week jumpstart diet that helps put people on the path to detoxification. And there's some useful tips on what you can do. It's a matter of lifestyle, basically. I think that's what you're saying.
So much of it is, yes. And it's just everyday choices. Now, it's easy to get really paranoid because this toxic problem is pretty serious. And a little bit of paranoia maybe is a good idea, but don't overdo it. Because if you get stressed out about all this stuff, it's going to cause you trouble too. So you have to kind of have balance.
Exactly. I'm glad you made that point. So there's some great resources. First of all, a book, The Toxin Solution, How Hidden Poisons in the Air, Water, Food, and Products We Use Are Destroying Our Health and What We Can Do to Fix It, by our guest, Dr. Joseph Pizzorno. And there's a website as well, and lots of good features on the website. It's right, user-friendly.
Thank you.
Lists and links that will help people launch their own personal detoxification program, right?
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Yeah, I try to make it as practical as possible, because everybody's got to be doing this, or else it's just bad things are going to happen to us as a society.
Indeed. I mean, it's possibly the biggest threat, to mankind, that we may succumb to our own machinations. Progress comes with a price, and we need to be conscious of the consequences. Thank you so much.
Actually, a lecture I'm working on right now, just before I talk with you, I'm giving a brand new lecture on infertility and environmental toxins. Because, as you know, we're having an epidemic of people not being able to get pregnant. And the research is so clear, these environmental toxins are just destroying our fertility.
Right. Sperm just ain't what it used to be. And then there's the matter of female infertility, and that's just rampant. And fertility doctors are making out like bandits, because it's so hard for folks to get pregnant these days. It used to be the easiest thing in the world. Thank you very much for your pioneering work in this field, and just broadly your contributions to integrative medicine. You've truly been a Promethean figure in launching this movement. Congratulations on a fabulous career, and you stay active and right at the cutting edge. Great stuff.
Well, thank you for your kind compliment. Most appreciate it.
My pleasure, and would like to recommend your book. And also, for individuals who want a very comprehensive look at natural medicine, a classic, The Encyclopedia of Natural Medicine. It should be in the library of anyone who's serious about this field, whether you're a practitioner or whether you're a wonky intelligent medicine listener. It's a great resource.
Well, thank you. That's very kind.
Okay, thetoxinsolution.com is the website. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As I continue to look for more ways to fulfill my pledge to provide the information you need to make informed choices about your health and wellness, I've developed a simple way for you to access curated supplement protocols previously available only to patients in my private practice. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com. There you'll find easy-to-follow links to not only the best individual products, but also to my brand new Intelligent Medicine Lifestyle Supplement Protocols that combine the products I recommend to achieve your specific goals, whether it be heart health, immune support, and much more. It's the easiest way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need in order to follow the Intelligent Medicine Lifestyle. And for a limited time, you'll also receive free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.